And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all are having a great week, day, night, whenever you're logging in to listen to us. We're coming at you with a Bucks W. We're without our good friend, Mr. Musab Tariq, but it's me and Mr. Blaine in the building today. So before I get any further into the show, I got to shout out my co-host, Mr. Blaine. Say what's up to everyone, Zach.
What's going on, guys? How you doing, Carter? How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. My goodness, it's almost as if that, wasn't yesterday. That wasn't even part of my intro.
It's all right.
I had some leftovers earlier, so it's definitely, that grogginess is seeping in. It was a good Thanksgiving. My grandmother was in town, so it was good to see her. Just hanging out with the family. Dad burned his hand.
That's
how it'd be sometimes. But the fried turkey was delicious, so it was worth it. But how about you, man? How was y'all's Thanksgiving? How'd y'all cook your turkey?
It was pretty good. I didn't do any of the turkey cooking, so I don't know how it was cooked. I didn't even really eat the turkey, if I'm being honest. I'm not a turkey fan. I'm a ham fan. So I know. Breaking news. Zach is weird again. I had ham and all the I'm more of a sides person on Thanksgiving, man. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy it for the mac and cheese and sweet potatoes. So
yeah, I mean, who doesn't love the sides? I mean, my goodness, everyone. Exactly. I feel like everyone's a sides person. It's definitely a big side dish holiday. My girlfriend Ashley, she cooked up some mac and cheese from that TikTok recipe, teeny or something. I don't know if you.
I swear to God, Michaela did the same exact thing, bro. She was like, "I'm making this recipe from this TikToker. Her name's Teeny. She's on America's, or she's on a cooking show."
Yeah.
Never heard of her in my life, but I'm with it. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it too. Yeah, she did the same thing with the mashed potatoes. I think it was the same teeny lady or whatever. So she's getting a free plug on RBLR.
There we go, right? Yeah. Go check it out.
Right, for sure. Check her out. She's all over TikTok. But also, you want to check us out. We've got some really great content coming out every week. You can follow us at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. You can also give us a like or a subscribe so you can stay in the loop, because the Bucks have some big games coming up. Some playoff implications. There's just a lot going on. There should be some excitement coming out of Bucks Nation for sure coming in the next few weeks. But speaking of excitement, they were really good this week. They had a 30-7 win. Obviously, it was against the New York Giants. Take that with what you will. But at the same time, you can only play the team that you're supposed to play, and they took care of business. So I thought this was a really encouraging win. I know everyone's going to say, oh, it's the Giants, it's Tommy DeVito, blah, blah, blah. But who cares? It's a big time win. They're still an NFL team. Those guys are getting paid too. It's not like the Giants are running out, a high school team or what have you. So it was really, really exciting to watch the Bucks just go out there, do their thing. Baker looked fantastic. He was, in my opinion, the best quarterback of the week from this past weekend. He just looked outstanding. Huge bounce back game. Cause I know, before the bye week, he looked a little just out of sorts against the 49ers, which, hey, it's the 49ers. That's understandable. They have a really good defense. And Mike Evans wasn't there, but Mike was here this week. And even Mike wasn't really super involved. But, still, it's exciting to see this offense just kind of settle back in, just get back into the groove of things, kind of rebound to their pre-Niners and Kansas City ways. What were your thoughts on the offense?
It was refreshing to see and – I don't think that people are wrong to go, well, it's the Giants. But, realistically, like you said, there's not necessarily any team that's just giving you a win. Although we did talk about the Giants openly flopping at this point. So
that's a good point.
Who knows? I think it was overall good to see Mayfield come and step up again and to see Evans not be – a huge part of the game plan and still get involved. Obviously I want to see Evans as much as we can, but I'm glad that they played it the way that they did, where they didn't just full on target him. And we had our other guys making plays still. Bucky and Rashad White were ridiculous, specifically Bucky. It was just all around offensively, we played a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just really, really fantastic to watch. It was just offensively just nothing to complain about. The running game was fantastic again. Bucky Irving, my goodness. How many times can you say it? He's been one of the best rookie running backs in the NFL. And He's part of a top 10 rushing attack. Who could have seen this coming? Yeah. I mean, I think that I thought at the beginning of the year with the Grant Barton pick that they were going to get better. I don't know that anyone saw this, myself included. So how's this happening? What do you think's going on? I mean, do you think it's just Liam Cohen, Bucky Irving, and Grant Barton kind of a confluence? Is there how do you contribute the credit here for this rushing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be a group effort. Graham Barton is the biggest part of why, but I also think that we got better all around on the offensive line.
Absolutely.
Some of the people that we weren't, like Bredesen, and some of the people that we weren't expecting to be relevant for us, I guess you could say, have come in and made, you know, have gone or outperformed by strides what we were expecting, you know, at least here on the show. And I think that Bucky Irving coming in, Bucky Irving is a better, like, pure runner than Rashad White is, in my opinion. And I think that that was kind of my gripe on Rashad White last season, was he just doesn't look like he wants to run the ball. But Bucky is like a completely different beast back there. He wants contact. He wants to get through. And it's fun to see that. And then Liam Cohen coming in, I think it really opens your eyes to how important a good offensive coordinator is when you go from Dave Canales' run game last year to Cohen's this year. I think that it's got to be an all-around effort, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really fun to watch. You know, it's been so many years of just bottom-of-the-barrel rushing offenses. It was, you know, as much as Dave Canales did a fantastic job last year, it was a bit boring watching just the same inside zone, you know, just kind of turn around and punch it up the middle and hope that something changes. And, you know, again, Robert Hainsey did a fine job last season, but I don't know that he was nearly as good as Graham Barton is doing this year. Cody Mauch, my goodness, he's taken a big leap forward this year as well. So kind of a fun side note for this is that Bucky and Rashad White both faced the top 15 most loaded boxes on runs in the NFL, you know, just having players close to the line of scrimmage, White more than Bucky, but yet Bucky is eighth in EPA per rush, and they both have more yards after contact per rush than Saquon Barkley, who's like an MVP candidate, which I don't know that I'll go that far with Saquon, but he's having a great year. You know,
I think we'd be crazy not to go that far with Saquon. It's not a podcast though, so I'm gonna refrain from my Saquon praise.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's tough with Eagles running backs. Like, their offensive line is just so freaking good. Like, his yards before contact are disgusting, which, granted, it's because he's explosive as heck, and it's because he makes really good reads, but it's also because the Eagles' offensive line is really, really good. Yeah. They made DeAndre Swift get paid last year. Like, yeah. DeAndre Swift was supposed to be kind of dead in the water, and he has now parlayed his year in Philadelphia into a long-term deal with the Chicago Bears, which I think the Bears might regret. Who knows?
I think the Bears are going to get – we're going to regret a lot more than just Swift.
So for sure, for sure. But, again, this is not a Bears or Eagles podcast, even though Eberflus getting fired was really funny. But focusing on the offensive side of the ball for the Bucs, Tristan Wirfs, unfortunately, was out. But he's questionable this week. That's the good news. And we'll get into some other injury news later on in the episode. But the Giants, if there was any concern with the Giants, I think a big one was the fact that they lead the league in sack percentage. They have the highest sack percentage in football. They have Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. I mean, that's a really difficult, you know, defensive line to deal with. Yet the Bucs didn't allow a sack. I know Baker did an amazing job, as he always does. He's done such a great job all year of getting rid of the ball, really low average depth of target. He's one of the quickest times to throws in the NFL. Just really fantastic job of doing that. But it's also the offensive line. You know, they've been doing a really great job of protecting him. And despite Tristan Wirfs being out, they were really, really good. So what are your thoughts on Justin School? Is he maybe giving you a bit more I don't want to say confidence, but are you at least a little more at ease with Justin School out there as opposed to maybe when Luke Gedecky went down?
Yeah, see, so I mean, I was, even when Gedecky went down, I was back in school a little bit because we were playing. Obviously, he was one on one against Bosa, and he allowed one sack on Bosa from the, I believe Gedecky went down.
But
Wirfs went down in the second quarter.
Yeah, early in the game.
The Niners game. He allowed one sack from Nick Bosa. So, I mean, obviously, I think the Giants' D-line as a whole is better than San Francisco's. But I was not as worried as I think most people were about Skol. And I think that it's showing that we have depth at the offensive line, which is something that I don't know that we've been able to say for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. And to think that they could really theoretically have more because they had experienced a few injuries here at the beginning of the year. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about, my goodness, what if they even managed to stay a little bit healthier? But, yeah, I'm with you. It's a really impressive thing for the Bucs to sort of either have depth or be able to kind of scheme away from that weakness. Because I think Liam Cohen, you know, I mean, we're the Liam Cohen fan club here. He's just done such an outstanding job with this offense because they've been really banged up with Evans Godwin.
We know what you meant.
Right. For sure. We could call him Edwin, you know, it's kind of a combination, but just missing so many players, having so many players miss an extended period of time. And yet the offense being as productive as it has been, obviously a lot of credit goes to Baker and all the players, but you know, the coaching staff has also done a great job of getting them ready and putting them in a position to succeed. But obviously the defense also had to show up this past weekend, because even though Tommy DeVito, the Giants offense, it's all kind of a mess. They're still an NFL team. You know, they've still got Malik Nabers. They've got an interesting offense. If it's not a good offense, but it can be kind of interesting with how much they target Malik Nabers, and they're just kind of, you know, spamming Malik Nabers at defenses, which understandable, but, the defense only allowing 7 points, my goodness. Zion and Dean played pretty well. They did a nice job of limiting things. And they got 4 sacks, which is really, really good, especially for this pass rush, which has been a bit middling throughout the season. Yeah. Despite Joe Tryon Shoyanka, he's dealing with a sprained ankle. He's doubtful for this Sunday's game. So what were your thoughts on the defense overall? Are you kind of using this as a reason for optimism or just dismissing it like, hey, good game. It's nice to see one go through the net, so to speak.
I think that you nailed it right on the head with that last one. Like, yeah, we played good, but I'm more worried about the Giant, like our, let me rephrase that. I'm more pessimistic about how good we played on defense than I am on our offense, because I think that the Giants defense is a lot better than their offense is, especially with DeVito. I'm optimistic, but like cautiously optimistic, because outside of Nabers, and like, I know they have Slayton, but he's kind of irrelevant if I'm being honest. Outside of Nabers, they don't really have anyone that like worried me. So I'm not totally afraid of, or I'm not totally confident that this was like a turning point for our defense or our defensive backs more so. I think it's going to take more than just this game and probably more than the next game for me to be like, yep, we're back. We're good.
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's Not super fun. It's still not super fun to look at the past few weeks, to look at their overall season statistics and how they've performed. I think just a little bit of a confidence boost, even if it is against the Giants. It's still nice to see yourself just play well. But I'm with you. It's a very cautious optimism. I'm certainly not, you know, pounding the table like, oh, there's best defense in the league or anything like that. But they did get the 4 sacks, which I thought was really fun. And speaking of pass rush, there were kind of some newsy stuff this week. Shaquille Barrett unretired. He's still under contract with the Miami Dolphins, though. The trade deadline is passed. The Dolphins don't seem willing to release him. So that's kind of an awkward thing. I don't know what to make of all of that, but James Houston was released by the Detroit Lions. So I wanted to get your thoughts with JTS potentially missing some time and with his pass rush group just kind of being meh to begin with. Do you think maybe the Bucs explore signing either one of them? Shaq might be out of the question, but James Houston, he's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that back when James Houston was drafted, it was like, they may hit a diamond in the rough here kind of a deal. And I think that he's going to he has potential to still be good. I worry that we're maybe past the point of another experiment, because it seems like all of our pass rushers are kind of experiments at this point, outside of Kansi and Vea, obviously. But I feel like, especially on our edge, they're pretty much all kind of, well, could this be the year? Is he going to break out this game? Is this the next game that's going to happen? So I would love to, on Blue Sky, I posted about it saying I would love for them to give him a shot on the cheap. As far as Barrett, though, he even said when he retired that he was doing interviews and he said the only place he'd ever come play again was Tampa. So I don't know that he's necessarily unretired. I know that he's filed for to unretire, but I don't think you see him play for the Dolphins. If he doesn't get a chance to play in Tampa again, I think he's done, or waits till next season, because technically I think he's a free agent next season again.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know how it works with him having a contract and then retiring.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, I would love to see Shaq. I know he kind of had a down year the last year for us, but he was dealing with injuries and coming back from an injury. I think if he's fully healthy, I don't think that there's anything that could hurt our pass rush at this point.
For sure. And the good news is I totally missed this news over the week. The Browns claimed Justin Houston anyways off of waivers. Yeah, so no Houston regardless.
I did not see that either. I'm glad that you just said that, because I would have not. Good for the Browns. I mean, it was a good claim. He's cheap, and I think he's got another year of control after this season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
It's a good pickup if you're the Browns. It's a good pickup if you were any team, really, because what's the worst that's going to happen? It sucks for you.
Right, yeah. And the Browns could use some extra pass rush depth, yeah, especially after they traded Za'Darius Smith, who went to Detroit, ironically enough. Yeah. A bit of a swapping of places there for both of those guys. It'll be interesting to see if the Bucs maybe try to work something out with the Dolphins. It's just so tough with the trade deadline being passed.
I don't think that you technically can work anything out at this point.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the problem, because any under the table thing would, you know, probably get a fine. And are you really going to risk getting like a fine or losing a draft pick over Shaq Barrett? Exactly. Like, I love Shaq. He's, you know, he's great, but I don't know. That'd be kind of tough.
If they release him, I think that Tampa needs to take a shot on him.
I think that they might operate under the assumption that he's going to sign with the Bucs. It might be Miami sort of just doing Shaquille Barrett a solid, but up to this point, it doesn't seem like they've been willing to do that, which is kind of tough. But what are you going to do? But if you want to make your wardrobe solid, if you want to make a little waiver claim for your wardrobe, my goodness, that's a stretched metaphor. But head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great gear for all things sports Tampa Bay. If you're looking for Bucks, Lightning, or Rowdies, we've got it all. We've just definitely head over, because, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. The holidays are coming around the corner. Or if you just want to buy yourself something, you don't have to buy something for a friend or a relative or anything like that. And we'll give you a promo code since the Bucks won this week. That's Cannon, CANNONS. You type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order. All right, after that little shot plug, we'll be advancing to the second half of our episode, because the Bucks have another game this weekend. They did not play on Thanksgiving. They didn't play on Black Friday. They are playing on Sunday afternoon, playing against the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. So there's kind of some injury woes to kind of deal with. The Wirfs injury we already mentioned. Jordan Whitehead was also placed on IR today. He's only going to miss 4 games, hopefully. Initially, it was feared that he would miss the rest of the season with that pec injury, which... So, you know, it's good news. Not exactly great news or anything, but it's better than what the Bucks were expecting. Tyke Smith also out this week again, which kind of stinks, but, you know, that's how it be sometimes. So, Panthers, do you got any initial thoughts on the Panthers, how they've been playing? I mean, they only lost to Kansas City by 3. Kind of an interesting team. Bryce Young is starting to seemingly kind of turn it around a little bit. So what are your thoughts on the Panthers heading into this weekend?
The Chiefs only beat the Raiders by 2. So I'm not convinced that anything with the Chiefs. Again, I think that I don't think they're a very good team, even despite their record. So I'm not sold on any team that plays a close game with the Chiefs, which I think every team they've played has.
Yeah, every team does. Yeah.
So I'm not like worried about, oh, well, they played a good game against the Chiefs. Well, so did we. So, you know,
right,
sure. I think that our defense is better than the Chiefs. I'll stand on that, especially our ability to blitz is better than the Chiefs, in my opinion. It's not – I don't think the numbers would say that, but in my opinion, I think we run a – as much as I give Bowles crap, I think we have a more difficult scheme to pick up on than the Chiefs do. So, I don't foresee them beating us, But I do think that with this being at Carolina, it's got me a little bit worried for a, you know, as people will call it, a trap game where we go in thinking we're going to win and, you know, something crazy happens. And you know how it goes. Last season we played Carolina when they were a trash bin of a team. We won by 3 points, and I don't think we scored a touchdown. I think we kicked field goals the whole game.
Yeah, so, it was a weird game.
It's one of those things where, like, I'm confident, but also at the same time, like, back in my mind, I'm like, well, it's Carolina. Like, anything could happen, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, these division matchups are always really tough. So it's kind of hard to predict these kind of things. The good news is, despite the fact that, you know, the Panthers are sort of trending upward, they're moving in the right direction. They still not a good offense. And like you said, they're not a great team defensively. So it's not great. You know, it's still not where you want to be if you're Carolina. The good news is for them, they are top 10 in EPA per rush and non garbage time minutes. So that's kind of an area of concern. What are your thoughts on the Bucs kind of just stopping? Cause it's Chuba Hubbard. He's been great. Yeah, he got an extension. Yeah, he's been really good. Their offensive line is much improved. They invested a lot into it this offseason, and they've been playing well. It's just they still only have, you know, Xavier Leggett and, you know, Adam.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's tough because, you know, Bryce Young's getting a little bit more time to throw, but, you know, his guys aren't necessarily getting open as well as I'm sure that he would like. So anyways, all that to say, what are your thoughts on the Panthers' run game? Like, how do the Bucs maybe – that you think they load up the box a lot? What do you think the Bucs do against Chuba Hubbard in this run game?
I think you're going to have to load the box. I think you're going to have to be creative with your blitzes because I do think that Chuba Hubbard is probably one of the better running backs that we've – the most active running backs that we faced, I should say. I mean, we faced Gibb when we played Detroit, but it was very early. We played Saquon, but even Saquon had a really good game against us, if I'm not mistaken. So – I'm worried about it, but also at the same time, if you can only run the ball, like we experienced this last season when we could only pass the ball, like you're giving up, you know, you're not worried about what's going to happen at other positions. You're like, all right, they're going to pass the ball. We're going to play pass coverage. If we know that Carolina is going to run the ball more than they pass the ball, we're probably going to play run heavy defense. And it's, I don't foresee them having a huge game against us, but it does worry me because running backs have kind of had their way with us this year.
Yeah, the run defense has been rougher than it has in a very long time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know really what to point to with that. I don't know. Ever since Ndamukong Suh left, they haven't really been the dominant force that they have been. But obviously, you know, Ndamukong Suh's like what in his almost in his 40s. So not saying to bring him back or anything, but they haven't really been able to find a great replacement for him because Logan Hall is kind of a more of a pass rush guy, I guess. He's not quite as stout against the run as the Bucs have been in the past. Obviously, losing Devin White as well. I mean, as much as Devin White has kind of fallen off the face of the earth in regards to the NFL, he was playing really well in his prime with the Bucs, and he was a big contributor as to why this rush defense was so good. I'm not really sure how the Bucs kind of counter that, but like you said, the good news is if they're only able to really run the ball, I do think that the Bucs can really limit what the Panthers can do offensively. So how about any fun matchups? This doesn't necessarily have to be a good matchup for the Bucs or a good matchup for the Panthers, but just something that maybe you're watching for in this game. What are some kind of individual or group matchups in this Bucs-Panthers game?
I think we've got to look at Rashad White I'm not even going to say Rashad White first anymore. We have to look at Bucky Irving and Rashad White against Carolina's front seven. I think that it could be another really good game for us. And I think we see maybe another one of the best Bucky Irving games out of this. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited to watch them run the ball and see how it works out this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really fun to watch Bucky play against everyone. It's been really, really outstanding stuff. So it's just been really good to watch them, you know, do their thing. And the good news is the Panthers run defense, one of the worst in football, 30th in EPA allowed per rush. Obviously, Derek Brown goes down at the beginning of the season. I think he had a season ending injury. He hasn't played all year. And he was a big part of their run defense. And I think Shaq Thompson went down as well. Isn't he done for the season?
If I'm not mistaken, something with his arm, I think.
Yeah, which sucks. He's a really good linebacker as well, a big part of what they do defensively. So, yeah, they've been feeling that. You know, they unfortunately missing some guys, and they haven't really been able to bounce back. And, you know, the results bear it out. So it's been tough
to say the least.
For sure. It's been tough to watch that team defensively and offensively, but you know, just kind of tough all the way around. So yeah, Bucky in this offensive line versus the Panthers front seven, that's going to be a big one. But for me, the one guy that's managed to stay healthy, knock on wood, my goodness, for the Panthers is J.C. Horn, who, you know, kind of struggled a little bit to stay on the field through his first few seasons in the NFL, but he's a great cornerback. He's really fun to watch out there. So him versus Mike Evans is something that I'm going to be really curious about how that plays out, as well as, you know, Zion McCollum and Jamel Dean against Xavier Leggett, I guess. Whoever the Panthers are running out there. What's that?
Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Adam Thielen, exactly.
The receiver I know from Carolina.
For sure, yeah. I mean, Xavier Leggett gives great interviews. He's got that really thick accent. And he has some – he's shown some moments. You know, I think he's a promising young wide receiver. But in this current state of the Panthers' offense, I don't know that they have a whole lot of playmakers for the Bucs to really, really contend with. But, you know, you never know. It's still the Bucs defense. They can still
anything can happen. That's why you never want to miss a Bucs game.
For sure. Absolutely. They can pull out some crazy stuff on both ends of the spectrum, on the negative and the positive. So definitely worth tuning in. But we're getting towards the end of our episode. But before we do, we got a couple of really fun segments. Over-unders. You know how it is. You know what time it is. Mr. Blaine, I believe it's your turn this week.
Yes, sir.
Us with them. Hit us with them. What you got?
All right, so Musab kind of made me go into full-on, like, look at the numbers and look at the bets. And we talked about how good our run game could be against Carolina. Do you think that Baker Mayfield has over or under? not the same one, I promise. Over or under 32.5 pass attempts.
Oh, okay. I like this one. This is a really fascinating one. I'm going to go under. I think 32 is kind of a big number. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like you said, the Panthers just have such a tough time defending the run. Everyone knows this. Liam Cohen knows this. You know, the Bucs are – if we know it, the Bucs certainly know it. So I think they handed off quite a bit. They incorporated Sean Tucker into some goal line formations last week, which I thought was really cool. Yeah, that was really fun. So I think that, you know, just having three solid running backs is really – good news, and it also means that Baker doesn't have to, you know, sit back there and throw the ball nearly as much, and the Panthers offense kind of struggles, so I don't think it's going to be a shootout or anything like that. If it is, then we're going to have an ugly episode next week for sure, but yeah, I'm going to go under on that. So I just think the Bucs run the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. An interesting thing that I saw was, if I'm not mistaken, well, one, Baker targeted or completed a pass to 11 different eligible receivers.
I love it.
Last game. But then with the four different rushing touchdowns that we had, it may have been the first time in franchise history, or at least in a very, very long time, that four different players have run a touchdown in for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really cool. That is really cool. It's kind of one of those silly kind of – not exactly. Really meaningful, but it's fun.
If it wasn't a great game.
For sure. It's fun.
But my next one is, with Evans kind of being back and having a week under his belt, over or under 7.5 targets?
Ooh, targets is tough, because if you went catches, I'd probably go under pretty easily. Targets is a different story. I don't know. Like you said, you mentioned him spreading the ball around last week with the 11 targets or 11 different receivers getting targets. Kate Otten's been fantastic. I mean, I love Sterling Shepard out there as well. I'm still going to go over, though, because it's Mike Evans. Like, I can't count on him not being targeted. I can't count on him not being incorporated into this offense, especially because he has, like you said, another week under his belt. He's more comfortable in the offense, or more comfortable, you know, playing with that hamstring. So I'm going to go over.
I'm also going over. I think we're getting to the point where, like, as much as I talked about it last week, not wanting to do it, we all want to see Evans go over 1,000 yards. And now we're at 99.5 yards a game for him to get.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's going to be very tough. Luckily, it's a very weak schedule coming up. So it could happen. But I foresee it maybe being more of a pushed agenda, kind of like Brady used to do for like his guys. Well, last game of the season, we're going to ball out. We're going to throw to everybody. We're going to make sure you get your bonus.
Right. Absolutely.
So I've got over as well, and I think that it might even be over in catches, if I'm being honest.
Ooh, wow. I hope so. If Mike Evans has – yeah, if Mike Evans has over those amount of catches, it might be another Giants-type game where they just run the table and it's just a – not kind of, I don't want to say a snooze fest because last week was a fun game to watch,
it was
over by the first half. So you know, I think it might be another one of those games, but is that all you got for us, Mr. Blaine?
All I got, unless you want to make one up on the spot. I got you if you want me to.
No,
I got other ones in mind.
That's all right. No, we got two in. That's a solid number. I like getting two in. So now it's predictions time. Before we log off, we got to give y'all our takes, and you know, I don't think they're hot takes or anything, but who we think's going to win and what the score is going to be. So give it to me, Mr. Blaine.
I've got Tampa winning 34-20.
Ooh, wow! You think Tampa?
I do think we have a bigger output on offense, but I think we give up. I think this team is better offensively than the Giants, so I think that we give up more points, but I still think we pretty easily win the game.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, the defense, you know, we talk about it a lot on this show because rightfully so, they've struggled this year. I think I'm going to go 27-13. I don't think necessarily that the Bucs are going to run away with this as much as they did against the Giants. But I also think that they kind of make things a little bit safer towards the end of the game. You know, the run game sort of starts to wear down the Panthers front seven because they're having a tough year. You know, it hasn't been great. They're missing Derek Brown and Shaq Thompson, as we mentioned earlier in the episode. So yeah, I think 27-13 is a solid number. But any closing thoughts you got for this episode? Anything else you want to add, or are we good to go? What do you think?
I think we're good to go. We both got them winning by 14. I think it's going to be a fun game. And
that's a good point.
You know, I think it's going to be one of those games where you don't want to miss it. Like, I think some good stuff's going to happen for us this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if it's not good stuff, then, you know, next week we'll be coming at you with a pretty nasty show, you know, because they'll have lost.
If you lose this week, I might not show up next week.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be a fun episode if the Bucks lose. But regardless, just as a little reminder, definitely hit that like and subscribe button so you can hear from us next week. Regardless of the result, we'll be back here. Maybe not Mr. Blaine, but me and Mr. Tariq will hold it down if that's not the case. But, you know, regardless of the result, we'll be here. You can give us a follow at X, at RBLR Sports, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, or at RBLR Bucks. We're also on Blue Sky, or Blue Ski, another one, however you want to pronounce it, RBLRBucks.RBLRSports.com. Look us up there. That's our little verified username. Yeah, we're fancy out here. We're verified.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. You know how it is. But until next week, we really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my co-host, the wonderful Zach Blaine. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.